Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
We're glad that y'all are here this morning, and weren't the kids great? Just one more time for them, for all those people that are leading them and teaching them. It's really not, I know they are so cute and we love their adorable faces, and I love some of the not so adorable looks on some of their faces. Don't you love the faces kids make when they're up in front of everybody? Yeah, just like, some of them are like, just kill me, you know? It really isn't about their singing, it's about their worshiping and what they're being taught. And so that's the most fantastic thing about our children's ministry, is what they're being taught that will be the foundation for the rest of their lives. And I don't know about you, but I didn't get that growing up in that way, and I think it makes a huge difference. And so truly supportive of them. We're glad that y'all are here this morning. If you're a guest with us, and you certainly might be, just because you might be a grandparent or a friend, coming to watch the children. You might be somebody here for the baptism today. We just want you to feel at home. You are in a place where the Spirit of the Lord dwells, and so you are welcome. And if you don't know the songs, or if you don't know this kind of our routine for the day, don't worry about it. You just sing along with what's on the screen, or just soak it all in. But I just pray that the Spirit of the Lord would be with us. So let me just pray for us. Lord God, as we come to this place today, Lord, for whatever the reason was that we arrived here, Lord, it certainly might be because of just wanting to be with friends or family. It might be coming to support somebody. But Lord, I don't believe that there's ever a mistake of how we encounter you. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would use this day. Lord, that I just want to reiterate the prayer that I heard this morning. Lord, that we would listen with intention. Father, we would listen with purpose today. Lord, we would worship with purpose today. Lord, with whatever's going on in our life, that we would just be filled with your power and the darkness would be driven out. Lord, any anxiety or depression, any hard feelings, any worries that are coming at us for the coming week, Lord, that you would just penetrate our lives, and Lord, that you would move those aside, and Lord, that you would make a way for us. In the powerful name of Jesus. We are here in the powerful name of Jesus. And all the people said, amen, amen. So in the life of the church, baptism is one of the, probably one of the most holy endeavors that we engage in. And we are here today with Christy and Jared and to baptize just a beautiful infant boy. And as we do that today, we incorporate really not just him and not just them, but all of us as part of Christ's body. Not just the family, but the family of God. That's all of us together. And so, but since he can't answer for himself today, the family will answer for him, his mom or dad. And then one day, as we grow him up in the church, whether it be us in the days and weeks and years to come, or if they move and go elsewhere in life, this is the church's job. This is your job, as the Holy Spirit fills us, is to teach him who Christ is and for him to accept Jesus for himself one day. But for today, I ask the family these questions, mom and dad specifically. Y'all can answer too, though, on behalf of all of the church, do y'all renounce what we would say are the spiritual forces of wickedness in the world and renounce your own sin? And then do you accept the freedom God gives you to resist sin and evil and injustice, no matter how they present themselves, and really shine Christ in your life? And then do you confess, the most important one of all, do you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior and put your whole trust in him, rely on his grace and mercy, not just for your lives, not just for your marriage, not just for being mom and dad, but for all of that put together to make sure that he knows who Jesus is? And if you'll do that, you'll say, we will.
We will.
And will all of you helping Christy and Jared raise, you know, I mean, one boy in the family, not only is he going to be spoiled, but he might make up for a little bit of the orneriness that these two don't have. That's my personal prayer, by the way, and will you support them when they need help, when they're at their wits' end? Will you love on them and care for them and help show them the way? And if you'll do that, you'll say, "We will." Yeah. And then all of you in the sanctuary, it's your job too. And I mean this so sincerely. I say it all of the time about my family, everybody's family. If I see them not doing what God's called them to do, it's my job to hold them accountable. It's also your job. If he's running around the church and you hear some not so godly words come out of his mouth, somebody needs to tell mom and dad. If y'all see him out on the town on the weekend one day and he's not being so godly, it's your job to tell mom and dad. And it's also, if they're not bringing him to church and not bringing him to Sunday school and not getting him to participate in the body of Christ, it's your job, it's my job to help pull them into that. And if you'll do that so loudly, I want you to respond that we hear you in here, you'll say, "We will."
We will!
All right. Come here, Hot Rod.
Here you go, buddy.
Oh, my goodness. Y'all get where you can see him. Get where you can see him. All right. What's his full name? What name do y'all give him?
Rain Anderson Owens.
Rain Anderson Owens. Today we baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. What God has already started in you, but what we do in symbolism today with this water, may it grow in you all the days of your life. May you grow to be just a godly man that the world marvels at, not to give you glory, but to give God praise and glory for what you are going to do for the kingdom through your life, through your family one day, through this family right here, at school, at work, at play, maybe even in preschool or PDO or first grade. You are going to be who God's called you to be, and I proclaim it in the name of Jesus through this baptism by the power of the Holy Spirit. We proclaim this today. In Jesus' name, all the people said, amen. 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 Yeehaw! All right, one more prayer. We're going to pray for this family. Lord God, for this family, as they are mom and dad and sisters and brother, that you would grow in them. Lord, that you would just bind them tightly together by the blood of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, forgiveness and mercy and grace and love, Lord, that they would grow and just be a beacon of light to the world. That people would see them and they would say, "That's the family we want to be because of Christ in them," and they can be a witness for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You're here. You want to do it?
Yeah.
You do it.
Good morning. My name is Ashley. I'm the children's pastor here. And before we dismiss the kiddos, we will pray for our offering. If you have a chance, you can give online, but we also have boxes out in this hallway. They're black with little envelopes. You can drop your offerings in there. So I will pray for our offerings. And then kiddos, I ran in here. I'm sorry, I'm out of breath. Kiddos, we will head through that door to Grace Kids after I pray for our offering. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to give back to you, God. We are so, so thankful for all the opportunities that you give us to serve, Lord. Be it coffee or picking up donuts or running a camera for a baptism, Lord, all the ways that we can serve, our finances are just another small part of that, Lord. And we are so thankful that you give to us so that we can turn around and give back to you. God, I just lift up those offerings that everyone will give to you today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And kiddos, ride out that door and we'll go to children's worship.
Little extra Shekinah glory on Dallas and Will today. It's because they were very fortunate and blessed, and praise God, they got to go as at least part of the family to the Rangers game on Friday. And apparently we should have all taken up an offering for them to be at their game last night, and maybe that would have turned out better. I'm not quite sure. I know that they had a great time. It is kind of, we do like a theme day every once in a while. It's Team Color Day, and support your favorite team. Look around the room. We're not going to turn the lights on because we don't want to publicly shame people, except for some of y'all that are wearing the various colors of orange. I know some of y'all are Oklahoma folks, and some of you are, there's another school down near Austin that's, I don't know what that is. But anyway, we're gonna have a second prayer right now, deliverance. Just kidding. As you think about kind of that theme of reflecting what you, who you love and what you are and how you live, this passage of scripture fits right in. It just all kind of worked itself together. I was going to finish the gratitude series last week, except for two questions that have come up in the last couple of weeks, and one right after church last week was this idea of how can I be generous if we only have a limited amount of resources to be generous with? And the limited amount of resources only get us, you know, 28 days out of the 30 or 31 days of the month, and we're trying to figure out how to make it all work. There's a great principle involved there, and we're going to talk about it today. And it really centers around practicing generosity. And there's one particular word in this passage of Scripture we're about to read, and depending on what translation, NIV, NASB, New Living, whatever you're reading, I always recommend the New American Standard. It's the closest to the Greek, the original, but then you can go back and look at some of the other translations as well. It's not the easiest to read, but it is the closest. There's one word in there, depending on your translation, is whosoever, or whoever, or whom, or him, or her, however it is right there in your translation. It's about the person. And sometimes we exclude that word when Scripture is talking to us, right? Surely if it says whoever, it's really talking about someone else. If it says you, well, surely it's talking about you and not me, right? I mean, we tend to try to push that off on someone else because it's a little convicting sometimes, or it's really convicting. And so I want to focus on that word a little bit today, but I want to remind you as you, we're going to read this in a minute. It says, when it talks about whoever, I want to remind you from last week and the week before that I said that paper, this paper, right, without purpose, right, is worthless. If whatever you have in your bank account, whatever you have in your wallet today, I mean, immediately I hear the credit card commercial, what's in your wallet, right? What I want to say is, I know what's in your wallet. What are you doing with it? What's the purpose of what's in your wallet? Where is it going, and how are you using it as a resource? Because paper without purpose means there's no management, and we said last week that money requires management. And now, here's what somebody said to me also in a text. We all manage our money, I just don't manage it very well, is what somebody said to me. I get that. Let's learn how to manage it well. Let's learn the resources to do that. Dallas reminded me and Ashley several weeks ago. We were having a conversation, and I'm going to blame myself and say it was me. Well, we can't get this group of people to volunteer. Not necessarily this group, but a certain group of people to volunteer. And Dallas says he heard a pastor once say, and I'm not sure who it is, so I'm not going to give credit to where credit's not due, is let's stop saying they don't, and let's start saying that we haven't taught them how to yet. So that's what I want to do today. I want to teach you just quickly the principle of practicing generosity. And then it's going to be up to you to do it because, listen, here's what the deal is. God provides with an expectation. God provides to you with an expectation that you're going to use it, that it's going to be a resource, and you're going to use it for His purposes. Now, that's His expectation, and you know as well as I do, if you have children, we expect a lot of things out of them that don't always do what we expect to do. Somebody make me feel good and say amen. Oh, that was lackluster, but I'll take it. Right? I mean, so God's the same with us. He provides 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11. It says, "Now this I say, he who, or whosoever, sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, but for God, because God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound in you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance," right, "for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God." See, here's what I want you to hear. I'm going to break that down for you, but here's what I want you to hear. There are promises in that passage of Scripture. There are promises that God was revealing to Paul, that he was revealing to not just the Jews and the Gentiles, but to all of us. There is a promise, but let me tell you, is that there are principles that you have to put into action. You have to practice the principles of that Word of God for the promises to be revealed. You've got to do it. You have to practice it. You have to try it. You have to test it. You have to work it out. I mean, Scripture says just daily work out your salvation. That's what part of this is trying to figure it out. Find the sweet spot in this idea of generosity. Find the way that works. I can preach all day long, all year long, from now and forever. I can write a book. I can go on the circuit of going to conferences and being a guest at other churches and at Lions Club and Rotary Club and whatever. But if nobody ever practices it, it's never going to reveal the promise. We're going to talk about the promises all day long, but yet, until you do it, it's not ever going to be revealed. So God rewards, God rewards your motivations. God rewards the motives of your heart. God rewards how you put it into practice. He knows if you're trying. He knows if you're working on it. He knows if you're trying to find that sweet spot. He knows, and he's going to reward that. And let me tell you, this principle is not just about money. Somebody's going to think that right now and say, "I already tithe," or "I give more than a tithe." But this is not strictly about money. It's just not. This principle works in every area of life. Every one of your spiritual disciplines that we learn in the Bible about prayer and fasting, about your spiritual gifts, about your just every part of your life, about reading the Word and engaging in the Word, about being a witness and giving your testimony, all this works. It all works. I mean, if you want the harvest, right? What did it say? It said, the harvest, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows a lot, plants a lot, you will get a lot back. And so think about in your prayers, if you want a great harvest out of your prayers, then you need to be praying greatly. If you want a lot out of your prayers, you ought to be putting a lot into your prayers. If you want a lot out of your relationships, you have to put a lot into your relationships. You have to, and hear me, I want to say, I want to make this just an understood, this is a given, everything I say, I'm talking about godly investing. No matter what you're investing, it's going to come back. Somebody say amen. It just is. Whatever you're planting, okay, if you're planting in an ungodly relationship, an ungodly relationship is going to come up, and that's what's going to bear fruit. If you're participating in whatever and you're investing in whatever and it's not godly, you are going to get some fruit. It ain't going to be good. And guess what? That fruit comes with seeds. And those seeds will eventually get planted somewhere and those will also crop up. Let's talk about how we invest generously as God invests. And think about it in your life. Think about it in your marriage. Are you investing godly in your marriage? Are you doing godly investment in your communications, in your marriage? If you want a bountiful harvest, invest godly wise. invest, do that godly investment. I want to ask a question, but I'm really scared. I don't know that I'm not sure I want to know the answer. I'm going to ask it. Don't raise your hand. Let's just put it in your head. You know, how many of you pray in your marriage together? Right? How many of you talk about, last week, I didn't bring it up here, it's somewhere, but last week we had the giving card, the pledge card, if you wanted to pledge. How many of you talk about how much you're going to give, or does one of you just decide? I'd really be curious. I don't really want to know this. Does a husband or a wife know what the other one is giving or not giving in a relationship? Your children. If you want a godly harvest with your children, you better be planning in a godly way. And if you're looking at your children and you're going, why is this ungodly stuff happening? Not just normal kids stuff, but I mean, if there's ungodly things happening, I think you need to look and see, where did we plant? And it's not always, by the way, let me just say this. You can plant godliness all day long, all the way around. We still have free will and choices, so don't always blame yourself for all that. We'll get to that. Planning at your school. Students. Boy, I mean, students, do not raise your hands because you are online and they can come back and watch this, and I don't want you to get in trouble with this teacher and make your life even worse. But how many have that teacher that you just think has it out to get you? Right? Are you doing godly investment in them, or an ungodly word as you walk by them when you're leaving the classroom? Right? How are we investing? How are we scattering the seed? And here's the deal: is let me ask you this final question: how many of you are doing godly investment in yourself? What's popping up in your life? What have you planted within yourself that's growing and bearing fruit? Because here's the deal. Scripture says it clearly. God has provided all of the seed. He's provided all of the resources. Yeah, everyone has seed. The question is, do you have the faith to plant it? Do you have the faith to cultivate it? Do you have the faith to invest in it? Because God has made another great implication here. Whosoever, he has already assumed that we are all planters. Every one of us. There are farmers in the room, and they're going to get most of this analogy. It cracks me up that so many of us, even growing, I even take it for granted. I grew up on a farm. I mean, I know what all this means, but even growing up in an agricultural community, some of you think that carrots grow in the back room at the grocery store, right? Some of you think these clothes get grown at the department store, right? I mean, we just don't understand. I mean, some of you think hamburgers come from McDonald's. And you can kind of call those hamburgers. Right? I mean, we don't get this really. But surely you know you've planted trees, you've planted bushes, you've planted flowers, you have planted something. Maybe some of you try your hand at gardening in your backyard or in your alley, and you've planted tomatoes, or you buy potted plants. Those potted gardens, raised beds. So you kind of know these things. It's the same principle. God has given you the seed. What he wants you to do is he wants you to sow it. He wants you to plant it. Everywhere you go, and not just a little bit. I'm not talking get a package of seeds for flowers or for tomatoes or for bell peppers or jalapenos or, if you're Dallas, ghost peppers, right? I mean, and you don't open that package and you pour them out in your hand and you kind of shake it and you kind of sort them all out and you take one seed and you go, okay, I got one. And then you go and you put all those back in the package, and then you dig a hole and you just drop one seed. See, that's not what he's talking about. Even though I'm going to argue that's what we do, he's talking about taking those seeds and just in fertile soil, in places where you have been planted, in places where you are growing, in places where you have the opportunity to throw the seed, to just grab it. We had those two bags of cottonseed up here a couple of months ago. And just putting your hand in there and just taking it and just throwing it. Just putting it everywhere. Sowing. the words of God, sowing the mercy of Christ, sowing the forgiveness of the blood of Jesus, sowing, 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 or planting, 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 over and over and over again. And the implication is not just that everyone is a planter, it's the idea that you didn't get the seed, God gave you the seed. We kind of hit that last week, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time there. But as we plant, though, here's what I have a hard time with. I don't know about you, but when I plant, I have a vision of what that's going to look like when it grows. If it's in the yard, if it's flowers, we have great big trees in our yard, and so we don't have a garden because we don't have sunshine enough. It's a lot of shade. And so when I plant, I have this idea of, I think of what these flowers are going to look like. And I have an idea of how these bushes are going to grow together, hopefully. But yet, I don't know. I'm not sure. We have some bushes that I would think would be a great hedge by now. All four of them, now we have two of them because two of them already died over the summer. I would thought they'd have grown together. This is their second summer, and I think the last two have a twig this way and a twig this way and a twig behind it. Right? These are not growing together as a bush. I don't know how it's going to go, but here's the deal. You have to sow before you can see it. You have to plan it, right, before you can make a plan for it. You have to put it in the ground. You have to invest it in somebody. You have to speak a word into their life. You have to pray for them. You have to talk to them. You have to bring them to Bible study or community Bible study or Sunday school or pickleball on Wednesday night or invite them to a baptism, right? Or invite them to see the kids sing. Invite them to brunch. Invite them, invest in them. You may never see it, but you've got to invest in it. And let me warn you, though, you may not ever get to see the harvest. And that's where we don't like it. That's where, let's just talk about money for a second. Some people don't want to give church just freely, give money to the church freely because they're not sure where it's going to go. You have to trust. You have to trust. When you invest God's word into somebody, you have to trust. When you invite them to church, you have to trust. When you love on somebody, you have to trust. When you invest in somebody, you have to trust. And there will be some times of rapid growth, right? Some things are going to grow quickly and it's going to be great and you're going to get a harvest. Speaking spiritually, I would love to have the tomato plant of spirituality. Amen? You plant it, you go to Lowe's and you already buy a full, half-grown, somewhat-grown plant. You put it in the ground and by, 6, 7, 8 weeks later, you're getting tomatoes off of that dude. That would be great. Okay? And it might happen and it can happen and we've seen it happen. Okay? But sometimes you have to plant and you have to wait. And sometimes it grows and it grows and it grows. We have a wildflower growing in our backyard, and it's been growing since May. And I just keep thinking I'm going to wake up one day and there's going to be a flower on it. There's not, right? And it's big, it's tall, and it's got beautiful leaves on it, and it's healthy and everything. But right now it just looks like a stinking weed. But I'm not going to cut it down because I know what eventually is supposed to come out of it. See, that's the investment. We can throw those seeds, and you should throw those seeds, not just get one and plant it every once in a while, but we should be scattering those seeds and then cultivating those and helping and asking others to cultivate those. I can go and maybe talk to Robert and say, I'm really planting in this person, but I'm getting tired. I have watered and I have cultivated and I have loved on them. I'm tired. I need some help. Tag, you're it. Or, Robert, is there a better way that I could do this? You know this person better than I do. How can I do this better? What's another way I could reach them? What's some different fertilizer that I can put on them? And I got jokes for that, but we'll move on. Right? We have to work at it. And let me tell you, and it might be a long growth period. It might be a long time before it crops up. It might be a long time before it produces fruit. And it might be even a longer time, such as it is. And some of you have these people in your life. You've been praying for them all of their life and all of your life, and you haven't seen it yet. But maybe you've told me about them. And when you're dead and gone, I can keep praying for them. Right? We may not ever see the fruit. It doesn't say anything about the fruit. It says about us planting, and when we plant generously, sometime, at some point, there's going to be a great harvest. There's going to be a great harvest. But let me also tell you that what you have to do is you got to work at it. You're going to get the seed, right? You already have it. It's not that you're going to get. You already have it. Okay? And as you plant it, God's going to give you more. Okay? That works. It's a principle that works when you put it into practice. That promise is going to come true. You may not be a billionaire, but I promise you in all these areas, you're going to get more. You're going to get more. But when you have the seed, you plant it, you sow it, but you got to work at it. And that's where some of us check out. You got to work at it. You got to spend time with people. You got to love on people. You got to hold people accountable. We just talked about accountability. We just talked about loving on people. And eventually, there's going to be a harvest. Ask any farmer in the room right now that if you just go out and you just look at a field and it's not cultivated and it hadn't been watered and it hadn't been prepped and ready, and you just go out there and you plant and you just leave it in hopes that something beautiful is going to grow, it's not. It's going to rot in the ground, or it's going to pop up and dry up, and then that's going to be the end of it. You got to work at it. And here's the thing is, even right now, on Tuesday morning during Bible study, got a couple of farmers, you know, and some of the things are like, well, we're going to harvest it, but it ain't going to be great, right? It's still a harvest. And it may not be what you expected, but God still provided, and now what are we going to do with that? And somebody's faith may not be as great as you had hoped it would be, but they know Jesus, right? They have the faith. Proverbs, it also works the other way around. If you have the seed and you're scattering it and you're putting it out there and you're teaching and you're preaching and you're being a witness and you're giving a testimony and you're investing in yourself also, it's going to grow. But if you're stingy, I'm just going to say it. If you're a tightwad with your money, your time, your faith, if you don't share your resources, if you don't give that stuff away, I promise you, you're not going to get any more. So if you're looking at your life, this is a hard word, I know, but if you're looking at your life and saying, this isn't working, and I have some really pretty bags of seed at my house, but they're not growing, it's because you're not sharing. And I think I just heard my email go off and it said, you're fired. It's just the reality of it. It's just the reality of it. When someone says to me, man, I wish there was a blank Bible study. Well, there could be. I just need you to do it. I wish we could build a so-and-so. We can. We just need more people to come to church and more people to give. Well, I wish that we would have this, or I wish we would have this, or I wish this could happen. It can all happen. It's just up to all of you that have the resources. And again, not just money, right? Derek taught the children this morning because someone was sick, and he didn't plan on that, but he had the resources because Ashley gave it to him. I noticed Derek when he walked in this morning. He was trying to talk to me and be real polite, and this is just cracking me up. He wanted to know how my day and my week was going and all these things, but he was really looking over me trying to find Ashley. He was going, do you have the printouts? Where's my stuff? I need to know because I got to go, right? He was just willing. Anybody die? Everybody was good. Please tell me you got one question you couldn't answer. Hallelujah. He could answer them all. See, that's why we need him to teach all the time. Amen. So you don't have to. See, it's there. And it's a principle. You just got to put it into practice. Proverbs 11, 24 through 25. This is our second week on this one, but I wanted to bring it back around. There is one who scatters, right? You. And yet increases all the more. I'm not going to point at you. And there is one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want. I have, but gosh, I want more. This is all I ever get. This is all I've ever had. I don't know why I can't get any more. I want this. I want this. I want this. Why can't I get more? Where's your heart? Where's your money going? Where's your time going? Where's your faith going? Right? The generous will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. Praise team, come on up. Here's what I want to do this morning. I just want, see, this is a heart issue. For me too. I am not throwing rocks. I am not indicting anyone in particular. I know of some areas in my own life where I need to be sowing more. There's some areas in my own life, the Holy Spirit just convicted me, those are chill bumps if you can't see them, that I am hoarding what God has given me. And boy, I would never consider myself a hoarder at all. Has God given you a word that you are just holding on to and you've not done anything with? Somebody has prophesied over your life. Boy, this just hit me just now. Somebody has been, maybe me, I got to think. Somebody's been prophesied over and that word is just laying there. You haven't done anything with it. God spoke to you personally and you haven't done a thing with it. How do you expect that to come to life? God is somebody, all of us, I don't know, has God has just enriched us just generously. And yet, we just think we're doing enough. Just enough. Some of us think we just need to give our time and not give anything else. That is not biblical. Some of us think we just need to give all the money we can, but we're not going to do anything else. None of that is biblical, folks. It's true. I mean, it's hard. Now I know my email just went off and I'm fired. It's hard, but it works. You've got to put generosity. You've got to put this principle into practice to reveal the promise in your life. And I said it last week, if this is about money for you, I'm just going to say it again, not because we're not even going to talk, none of this has to do with money today. But if you want to practice this principle and it comes to your money and it doesn't work and you get in trouble, we'll give you your money back this year. It's that easy. I can't give you your time back, but we'll help you. We'll help you. So here's what I want to do. I just want to open up the altar. Just if you want to come and kneel over there or just stand here or stand up where you're at or kneel where you're at, turn around and pray at your chair. I just want, I think that the Holy Spirit, right, the same Spirit of God that provides the seed, hallelujah, listen to this if you didn't get anything else. The same God that provides the seed also provides the Spirit. Right? If you're scared, He didn't give you a spirit of fear of timidity. He gave you a spirit of power. He gave you a spirit to be victorious, to overcome. Say, Lord, I'm scared to go out and do these things. Lord, help me. I have the resources. I know you've given me the seed. I need the power to go out and do it. I need to be able to talk. I need to be able to go talk to that person. I need to be able to volunteer in this way. Lord, I need you to show me where I can have the time. I need to show where I need to make time, something I can give up or something else differently I can do. I don't know what it is for you, but just say, Lord, change my heart. You've given me the seed. Lord, transform me by the power of your Spirit. Because I think that's the deal. I know 90% of you and your circumstances in life, I'm just going to say, you've got what you need. You've got it. And I can bet the other 10% of you, you've got it. It's time to cast it. It's time to plant it. It's time to let it go. It's time to sow generously so we can harvest generously. Now or the next generation or the next generation or the next. Because here's what I know. My grandmother died in 1982. And boy, there's a seed growing up inside of me that she planted. I know it. right? She never got to see that. She never got to see me be a pastor. She never got to see any of this. But boy, she was one of the planters. She was one of the sowers. Who is it in your life, and in whose life is it going to be you? Lord, use us today. Lord, let us just open ourselves up to you. Lord, I'm not asking for any particular thing in anybody's life. I just want us to be available. Lord, just to hear you out and to have the conversation. Lord, if it's about our money, you have said it clearly. Just test me in this. Just try me. You might even have a Clint Eastwood look on your face. Say, go ahead, make my day. I will turn around and I will open the windows of heaven and I will pour out my blessings upon you. And if it's your time, God, the Lord always returns my time to me tenfold. When I don't know the words, the Lord intervenes in my life. I know it all works. Church, here today or online, sometime in the future, if you're watching this, just turn to it. Just say, use me, Lord. Show me, teach me, lead me. Give me the power to follow. One more word for somebody. You don't like where you're standing or planted right now in your own life. Scatter more seed. Wherever you are, whatever's going on, whether you're in a comfortable place or whether you're on hell on earth right now, you continue to scatter those seeds for Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go from this place. You are a planter. God made you that way. It's inherent in all of us. He gives us the seed to scatter, and he wants to give you more. You go and plant. Go and scatter. Go and cultivate and start looking for the harvest. In the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, let it be so. And all the people said, amen. Y'all have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.